welkom bij Meditatie Amsterdam, de podcast. Your place for all about meditation and especially meditation training. My name is Roel and I love to invite you to join me in this brand new episode. Enjoy. Welcome everybody to the meditation evening. Nice to see you again. It's been a long time. Yeah. That's cool, of course.
Yeah.
How long has it been? Like a year-ish?
I think, a year. I've been traveling a lot lately, but I'm back in Amsterdam now.
Oh, nice. Okay. You have Germany again?
Yeah, so I went back to Spain for some time, but I was also traveling, you know, America and other places for work, because now I'm working in sales, so I need to travel quite a bit. Yeah, but I wanted to get back into the routine, you know, because my head is all over the place now.
Yeah, that's probably familiar, even if you're not traveling, I guess. But and a good thing it's online, so you can switch in wherever you are. But welcome. Nice to see you, to have you again.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. So, like always, I start with the question, are there any questions about meditation? And of course, I'm more than happy to answer them. And otherwise, you know, the drill, I start talking. Hopefully something useful and good comes out of it. So this is your chance to prevent that. No. So I was thinking about what is the hardest thing in meditation? So you sit down, you meditate. What is the hardest thing actually in your meditation practice or making your meditation practice actually meditating? So in a meditation practice, you have two possibilities. You're either, when you're doing your practice, you're present and aware. So you're meditating actually, or you're distracted. And then you're not meditating. So, and the goal is to have as much as meditation time within your meditation session. But in your meditation practice, while you are meditating, what is the hardest thing actually during meditation?
Is this a question?
That is actually a question, yes.
I think two things.
Two things, yes.
Stay focused and your posture.
Yes, definitely.
So not getting physical uncomfortabilities.
Yeah, definitely. Both.
Yeah.
Staying focused, so not getting distracted, definitely. Yeah. And maybe I'm aiming also more about the meditation state, which you're actually present and relaxed at the same time. You're open, you're focused, which is kind of also being present. You're in the now and you're without judgment. To have and to stay in this, it's actually a little bit of a difficult question. I actually came up with this, I thought this through lately and think how to ask this question. But I think what I'm actually aiming for is, what is the hardest thing to have in a meditation practice to make it meditation, to stay in this state of presence, open without judgments, in the now, relaxed but present? And the thing I came to is acceptance. Acceptance of what is, of the things that happen or what are here in the current moment, and to be able to observe them and be with them without judgment and without wanting to change anything, without wanting to stop it, without wanting to go along with it, or without wanting to push it away. Accepting everything that is there, which is, for me, the hardest thing. But meditation, you're actually open. And I was talking to my coach this week, who's also learned me a lot about meditation. And she said, when meditation, the inside stays the same, whatever happens outside. So you see things happening on the outside, but the inside doesn't change. I thought that was a really nice way of explaining what meditation actually does. So you stay in your calm, you stay in your clarity, you stay in your presence, and it doesn't matter what happens outside of you. And the problem there, the difficult part there, is accepting everything what is there. So we see things and we hear things and we notice things and we become aware of things, but we are not often able to let that be neutral. Let that not affect us. Don't start to make opinions or thoughts or wanting to react to it or to stop it or to do something with it. So to make it more than it actually is, a neutral manifestation in your consciousness. And this is hard because your mind captures something, it notices something, and your mind starts rolling, right? It wants to do something with it. It's very hard to not do anything, right? It is the example I often use when you go observe your breathing. This is one of the hardest things to do because you actually want to do your breathing. You start to take over the breathing process, which is the opposite, of course, of the assignment or the question. But it is that hard to actually not do anything and to stay neutral, to stay just in pure acceptance of what there is without wanting to interfere or go along. But you train this acceptance phase. So as soon as you're able to do it in meditation, and meditation is your playground, your training ground, right? You sit down and this is where you practice what you want in daily life. So there's actually, at least I didn't meet anybody in my classes that had the goal of meditation to be able to sit down with the eyes closed for as much as possible, right? We all have our own goals, like more relaxation or more productivity or more sharpness, more creativity, more openness, and to be able to translate that to the daily life. And your meditation place is just, or the pillow where you sit on is just your playground, your training ground. So and you want to do this in daily life as well, right? Also be able there to stay in just accepting what is there and not wanting to change it. And of course you can change it, but by choice and not being involuntarily took into a process of wanting to change or needing to change or interfere or stop anything that's going on as it's happening. And this is pretty hard, right? To leave things as they are. Yesterday I had a nice situation, actually a not so nice situation, where I was triggered in this one. So I was talking to this guy I knew for a long time. Actually, I haven't seen him for a long time. And he found out I was vegan. And my daughter is also vegan. So I talked to him for like 4 minutes, like at my daughter's dance lesson. And his daughter is there as well. And he came to me and he said, "Your daughter's looking pale. So don't you think she needs some meat? And do you know what you're doing? Shouldn't you consult a dietist?" He actually said, "I think you're doing a very, very dangerous experiment on your daughter." So I was like, where's this coming from, right? So he actually kind of attacked me on like, or questioned my abilities as being a parent. So you can imagine that kind of like triggered some things, even in someone who practices meditation. That was also for me a moment, and I had a pretty hard time that evening of keeping it as it is, right? Someone expressing his opinion, which is fine. He did it in a less tactful way, and he maybe was concerned or he has some own issues. He's this kind of guy like, guys need to eat meat, you know, but that's his way of life. So, but I had a hard time accepting just what happened and not taking it personally to myself, because I really took that as an attack, right? And you can only, of course, be attacked or offended if you give the person the ability or the power to actually do so. I mean, if you're in control, you're the one that decides if the outside world disturbs your balance or not with everything. But this was kind of this hit deep, especially as a parent being told that you don't treat your kid like actually you harm your kid, right? When you try to do the best. So it took me some time to really see what was happening there and actually also in my system let it accept that what happened was actually someone expressing an opinion, which is... did less research. It was just, I mean, of course, I really read this through, right? And I'm checking my daughter every year if she has sufficiency in minerals and those kind of things, right? She doesn't get deficits. Of course, I don't want that. And I also don't have the answers. But it took me some time to really accepting what just happened instead of wanting to do something with it. And probably we all recognize these situations in our life, right? Something happens and it keeps going on, although the situation is gone. Right, I talked to him for 4 minutes, but actually in my head I was talking to him for 4 hours. So that the situation continued inside of my mind. And with meditation you gain control over this cycle, over this process, that you can be able to be in the now, be in the present moment without having this memory or this past experience going to you all the time and staying in that story, staying in that situation. And it can be very hard, especially if something is very close to your heart or like threatening to you. I think we kind of all can relate to situations like that, right? So this is just an example in my life. So, and I think these situations are challenging. And with meditation, you train the ability to be in a moment, to be detached from that specific moment and not exactly wanting to push that away, ignore it, right? Okay, it's gone. Don't go there. I'm now. But also see what this does in your body and being aware of what happens in your body when this fear, anxiety, madness, whatever comes up, is there? Does this make sense to you guys?
Everyone has this.
Yeah. I guess so, yes. So it's there's actually also almost no one I know that, like actually no one I know that actually is not being triggered with anything. And Actually, we shouldn't be, or we don't need to be, let's say it like that. We cannot influence the external world. We cannot influence what comes to us, what happens to us. But we always can be in charge of our reaction to it. And this is where we have control. And this is what we train in meditation. And that's the same in meditation, being present, right? And then staying focused, like Dimitri said, and nice, to not be distracted or to stay in this state of meditation. Also there, things come in. We have things we sense, like come into the senses. So we hear things. We maybe see things if our eyes are a little bit open. We smell things. We have pain. We have itches. We are hot, sweaty, whatever. And we have also internal inputs like thoughts or emotions or whatever. And all these things come to us and we cannot influence them. We cannot influence them being there, but we can influence our reaction to it. And this is trainable. And this is how you actually start to be more comfortable in life. And what happened to me yesterday, it stayed in my system for a few hours. But I think without my meditation practice, it would have been in my system for a few days. And that will cost you sleep if you if that stays within your system a few days. So I think it's very useful to be able to train this and also see what is possible and that you have a choice, that you are more or less in control of what's happened if you train this ability to.
Yeah, I think what I'm going, for me, is something that kind of upsets me is that I feel like no matter how much I meditate, there are sometimes when I feel really stressed that my brain gets completely hijacked and I'm out of control. Mm-hmm. Even though I trained meditated a lot, before, do you think that that's something you can really train over time and being able to be focused and not being hijacked completely when the stressful event occurs?
Yeah. So what happens is that with meditation, you start to notice the changes in small situations or not too big situations first. And this increases and it grows and grows and grows. But there was also your circle of influence, like it grows. So there are more things that you can handle and not get upset or stressed about. But there's always things outside of the circle, right? I mean, if a loved one dies, for instance, that's like pretty harsh. And if those are also inside of your circle, which grows by meditating, by training, then you're kind of done, right? So you completed your training and your ability to do this. So it's not you're either to do this with everything or nothing, but it's relative. So see it as the spreading of your capacity circle. So same as running, right? So then you say, okay, now I train running and 2Ks and 5Ks and 10Ks comes in. But then I did a marathon and then I got injured or like tired. Like what happened? Is this trainable? Yes, it's trainable, but it's a bigger thing. It's outside of Makes sense?
Yeah, makes sense, yeah. To be patient.
I mean, the more you train, the more you're aware, the more you're able to control your mind. I heard Sadhguru say it really nice in a podcast later. We are determining where our hand goes, where, how, and when our arm moves, right? Or when our legs move. And we should also be in control of what our mind does. And this is the training of meditation. And this takes time. The same as it took time to control our body. And I can still not do what a gymnast does, right? To be in that control. But I'm better at it than compared to when I was 2 years old, right? It's all a process. It's all on the line of growth. But it's completely normal that there's still situations that get you. I mean, same as yesterday for me, right? I did a lot of hours on the meditation pillow as well, but this kind of also hijacked it hijacked my brain, my mind, although I did meditation training. But again, if I wouldn't have had my meditation training, it probably hijacked my brain or my feelings or whatever for much, much longer. So that's where the training aspect is. Yeah. Thank you for your question. Yeah. Did I answer it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Thanks.
I have a question. But did you also meditate after the conversation with him?
Being in the presence of a 5-year-old child doesn't enable meditation. No, I was with my daughter. So, I mean, just came up out of dance class and I was around my daughter all the time. So there was not a really situation that I was able to sit down. But it would have helped, definitely, because then you can check, okay, what's actually going on inside of me, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can actually feel it and also be with it. And if you be with it, it can also slide off. Yeah. So then it hurts to stop fighting against what you're, But the opportunity wasn't there. But that's a good question, and actually that would have been useful, yeah. And if I find out how to pause my daughter for half an hour, I would have I'll definitely do that next time. Yeah. Any other questions about this?
It's recognizable. It's the only thing I can say.
Yeah. I think we all have it, right?
Yes.
And I think this is one of the hardest things. If you are able to accept everything that happens in the meditation, that means accepting means observing it as it is without judging it or wanting to do anything with it, just as a neutral thing, like a sound instead of my neighbors playing the guitar, which has a different dimension to it because it interferes with me or it's maybe nice, right? Whatever your subjective feeling with that is. So to keep it objective, just observe, accept it's there. Don't want to stop it. Don't want to change it. Don't want to go along with it. If you're able to do that, you can imagine that your meditation practice will become a lot easier.
Yes, but there's only one thing I do not agree. Why? I understand you have to leave it what it is for better meditation. But in my opinion, you still can judge it.
You don't have to. And this is the benefit of meditation.
What people always say in the meditation, don't judge.
Mm-hmm. That's in the meditation, you train not to judge. Because the judging part we got down. We really know how to judge things, right? We're good at this. Yes. This is automatic. So what we do is we train the opposite. So we also train how to not judge it. And then in daily life, instead of going into this automatic reaction of judging, we have a choice. Can say, okay, I can judge it, I can go along with it, I want to stop it or whatever, right? I mean, if you see someone in the street falling down, you can say, okay, I'm not judging that and I'm walking on, or you can choose to actually help and interfere or to stop or whatever, to do anything. But you have a choice. And now, because our mind is in control, we have no choice. And this is what you're training. So it's completely true. It's like not that you become like passive, but you have the ability to not react if you think it's not useful. Like yesterday, it was not useful for me to stay kind of upset with it for hours. It was not useful for anybody. And I came to a certain moment where I was able to do that. But if something happens, like my house catches fire now, it's good that I'm not here accepting the situation and just staying seated.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Right. Does it answer your question?
Yes.
Because you're right, but it's just giving you the option, right? So that you don't go into this automatic response, which I got into yesterday, and yeah. But that's good. Good comment. Any questions?
I think just to add on that, what you were able a couple of hours, I think in a different terms, you know, there is a theory of window of tolerance. And I think window of tolerance in a different way, I would call it meditative state. So if I think you are not trained, it's very, how do you say, narrow, the window of tolerance. And if somebody more like you or somebody who's, I guess, this window of tolerance where you able, okay, stop it. Let me just concentrate on my daughter and finish this evening in a joyful and meditative state. That's what you said about also training. The more you train, the more this window of where you can react in a not aggressive way, but in a meditative way. But in the end, if you have years of consciousness meditation, it will grow.
The only thing I don't agree on is that I'm the example here because it took me hours. But still, so my window of tolerance is still open for growth. But yeah, this is like the circle of influence, window of tolerance. There's multiple names you can give to it. And yeah, as soon as that grows. But just being able to accept what is there. Also just with a sound, with an itch, with an emotion, with tiredness, with whatever, right? So this is, of course, for me, stronger emotional input. But just to be able to do that with anything that happens, that's your training. So, and of course, the end goal is that you can also do this with strong emotional inputs, where it touches your values, the things you identify with. Yeah. All right. Are there any more questions? Then we're going to train it to go to a practical part of the meditation session. So, See everybody getting ready. So see that you become more or less comfortable sitting up straight. You can close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. And just be aware of your presence right here, right now. You might notice some activity, things that draw your attention. So you can notice inside yourself, outside of yourself. And see now if you can accept everything to be there where it is, as it is. We just talked about bring it into practice. If you're able to let any turmoil outside or inside of you, any discomfort, anything that grabs your attention, maybe joyful things, things that attract you, if you can just let them be for a second. Accept their presence. With you just observing it. Not wanting to push away, not wanting to interfere, not wanting to stop. And just be aware if that's easy to do or not easy. You're now in a situation which is pretty calm, pretty safe in your own house. Sitting alone in a room, probably, eyes closed. And notice if it's in this situation easy or hard to do. That you may be triggered to activity. And of course, with the knowledge that it's harder in daily life, but just see how it is now. And then we go to observing the breathing. Be aware that your body's breathing and just take a look at that, notice it, observe it. And also here, are you able to just let that be? Let the body take care of it. Feel an urge to take over, to control, to do your breathing, which often also takes away the subtleness of the movement. And just observe your reaction, your tendency, if it's there. Also here the goal is to just observe the bodily function as it is. The body take care of it like it always does. Can you shift your focus, your attention towards any inner restlessness? Maybe first physical. Feel your body. Be aware if there's any discomfort, restlessness, anything in there. Stiffness, pain, itch, whatever there is. And also here, are you able to accept its presence? Not wanting to get rid of it, not wanting to change it, not wanting to act on it. If you don't feel any discomfort or whatever, and even if you feel pleasantness, is there something you want to do with that? Do you want to grasp it, enjoy it, sink in it? Can you also just observe that? Are you able to accept anything there is within your body at this moment as it is? And again, mostly observe your reaction, your tendency. Are you okay with this situation, or are you feeling an urge to change something? Get rid of something. Maybe it can be if you practice this now for a little bit that you kind of ease into it, slide into it. Without really reacting, it becomes easier. Get the hang of it. See if something changes there. Can also even become stronger. Just see what happens. And now we shift our focus to our mental state of being and all the things we encounter there, all the restlessness, or anything that is present there. So a lot of mental traffic, restlessness, things that worry you or grasp your attention, take you away, thoughts, emotions, feelings. First, start to be aware of that. What do you encounter? Is it busy or calm? Is it open and wide or kind of narrow, cramped? Is it clear, you're awake? Is it more dull, tired? What's your experience? If you have this kind of overview of your mental situation right now, how it feels for you, or what you can observe, see what your tendency is, if there's a tendency to do something with it, to change something. Or are you able to just accept as it is? Let it be as it is. Not feeling an urge or need to change anything. being okay with it. And just observe this tendency, this wanting to react or not. What does your mind want to do with this input? You observe your mental state. And mainly or especially this mental turmoil is what we want to observe and let be in meditation, in our practice. A lot of people start meditating or go into their practice because they want to get rid of restlessness or stress or anxiety. The trick is to observe it so it can find its way to settle down itself. Like a little snow globe around Christmas, which you can shake and all the snow dwells down, goes to a rest. Meditation is not pushing anything away, making anything bigger or stronger. It's just observing it as it is and let it calm down, let it settle by itself. See if this process is something that you can see happening. You observe your mental process at this moment, your restlessness or not. Your awakeness, your dullness, your brightness. See what happens. Now we bring our attention to what we can observe with our senses. Our eyes are closed, but we still hear, smell, taste, feel stuff. And first see how you can observe your body weight. Aware where your body touches the surface below. Where gravity brings you a pressure feeling between your body and the surface below. And see if you can experience this as neutral. Just as it is. Don't want to change anything about it. Can you accept it as it is? Can you accept gravity as it is? And most probably this will be maybe the easiest of all the things to accept, which we did so far. Because gravity is pretty neutral, nothing really to be anxious or angry about or upset. Now we go towards the sounds that reach us. Are there any sounds that you can perceive sitting here? Coming from inside of this room or outside of this room? And also see, is there any reaction to it? Anything you want to do with it or any judgment about it? Can be that they're nice, pleasant. You want to stay with it, like with nice music. It can also be annoying. Stuff that interfere with your meditation state or practice. Just moments. See if there's any reaction to it, anything you want to change. If there's a tendency to do it. What is the automatic response of your system? And if you can experience these sounds now, see if you can let them come to you. There actually are vibrations in the air that reach you, that are not yours, that just reach you. You can perceive them, you can hear them, you can observe them, but that's it. Become aware if that helps to make it more neutral, less intrusive, less like to change anything. Go with it or push it away. Vibrations just reach you. You perceive them, they're not yours. You're just able to notice them. Nothing more, nothing less. Then you bring your awareness back to your presence here, sitting in this spot, this moment, right here, right now. Meditation session together. Just take a moment to be aware what this meditation did for you. How do you feel mentally right now? Is there anything different than when you started this meditation? Some people feel more space, more calmness, more awakeness, more balance after a meditation session, but just see what it is that changed for you. If nothing changed, of course, that's fine as well. Just be aware what this meditation session did for you. And then whenever you're ready, take your time in your own pace. Feel your system is ready to open the eyes again. Reconnect with the world around you visually. Not a hurry. Just take your time. Let your system decide. Welcome back, everybody. So, actually, meditation that's completely different of most of my meditations before took you on a little journey to test and play with the concept we just talked about. I always try, of course, to make the meditation session adapt to the subject. And you might have noticed that some things are easier to accept than others, like gravity, right? Might be easier than maybe thoughts or mental turmoil or an itch or physical pain. See that there's a difference in how we judge and are able to be with what is, accept what is, and that there's a possibility of training here to make everything become neutral as being aware that it's just vibrations in the air that reach you with music. And sometimes we just have to change the meaning, be aware of the change of meaning, where we can make a change in the whole perception of things. Especially with sound, I think one of the most useful tips anybody has given me, I was on this meditation course, Buddhist meditation course actually back then, and we were in a big sleeping hall with 200 people. I told this story once or twice. And there was one guy keeping the whole dormitory awake with his snoring. And this guy was, of course, lying 3 meters next to me, right? So I woke up, I got out of bed still awake that morning. And I walked out and I ran into a friend of mine, and she said, like, "Are you okay?" I said, "No, I didn't sleep." And I knew this, there were 3 more days. I didn't think, oh man. And he was probably not leaving the course before anybody else. So, and she said, "Okay, what you can do, you can try to find a Buddhist mantra in his snore." I said, "What?" She said, "Okay, just try to pick your favorite mantra, like Om Mani Padme Hum, and try to find this in the snoring sound." That night, of course, situation completely the same. And I tried to search for Om Mani Padme Hum in his snoring sound. And I actually found it at a certain moment. So, and it sounded like the mantra. And I fell asleep. It completely changed the snoring sound for me from completely annoying to pleasant sound. And the thing itself didn't change, just my perception changed. So the way you perceive things as just a thought, just a vibration in the air, and now, of course, I connected something pleasant to it. And that meditation, you try to, of course, make it neutral. But it can change your whole perception of things. So if I was able, in my example, which I used before, to see that it's just an opinion given by someone that has actually maybe not even as much information about it, but just also it's a personal opinion, and it doesn't say anything about my skills as a parent. If I was able to keep it that neutral, then it would have been a lot easier to cope with it. That's what I try to take you along a little bit in this journey, to see the differences there. And also end with this, what really works for me with this, just the vibrations of the air reaching you. The sound is not mine, the sound is just coming to me. And I don't have to do anything. So at the end, I'm always curious, of course, about how you perceived it. Really nice if I perceived it as pleasant, but hey, we're here for you. I'm here for you. So anybody likes to comment or share the experience they had during this little journey? if it was easy or not, or if people were able to see their tendencies of wanting to do something or judge something or wanting to change something or go along with something.
I wanted to change something that I cannot change, so I made it an acceptance. I have eaten way too much and I felt it the whole meditation.
Okay. This is a good thing. This is nice because you cannot change the feeling of your stomach because you ate too much. But you can change your perception of it.
Yeah, I tried to go over to total acceptance. Hmm. It is the way it is.
And did it work? So, was it possible for you to do that? To get there?
Yeah, but not easy. I became a little bit restless in my body in the way of not having the real right position, and because the feeling in my stomach went also to my back. So the more the meditation lasted, physically, the less comfortable I felt. Hmm. But mentally, I think I did a good job.
But were you able to accept it better that it was there and that it bothered you less mentally at least?
I would say yes, but it still was irritating me.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, I was trying to accept it. Let's put it that way.
If I understand you correctly, you also managed to accept it partly.
Yeah, in fact, yes, because you still keep irritated.
Yeah, but if that goes down already, like the level of irritation goes from 10 to 6.
It became more acceptance.
Perfect. Yes. Then that's what we're playing with, right? It's like also with the question before, it's not about necessary to do it, to be able to do it directly with everything, right? But it's able to start shifting with it, playing with it, making things more acceptable or not. So that's gain. That's actually doing or managing to do what you try to train with meditation, making it more neutral and maybe not fully getting there. That's okay. This is training. And the more you do this, the more able you are to accept it better. Thank you.
I love the spaces between your voice.
So you like when I don't speak?
yes, I like your speaking, but this was the
just
perfect meditation for the interval of silence. Let's put it that way.
Thank you. I got you there. I just like, that was a nice joke towards myself. But it's, thank you very much. Anybody else? How was it to do this practice and see tendencies?
For me, not a long time ago, but I found out I'm really tired. but I think it's not a bad thing.
No, definitely not. And how were you able to accept your tiredness?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good.
In the end, well, I was like, oh. So,
trying to sit up straight.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but I'm really calm now. So, yeah.
Perfect. So definitely something changed.
Yeah.
And this tiredness is often, this is almost classical that people start, especially in our busy days and busy lives, that we're so on adrenaline that we even don't feel that we're tired anymore. So that we actually, if we just pause for a moment, this is the same thing, the example I often give. If you're watching a very good series or movie and you can shut down the screen and then you feel you have to go to the toilet or really thirsty or really cold or really tired, and you actually notice what your system is telling you about prime necessities for life. And also this tiredness part is very normal that people say, okay, now actually by calming down and taking really a moment to check in, now I feel what my body really needs. And this is rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're often overdoing it. So, but really good, it also directly gave you calmness. And often there's, I don't know if you recognize this, there's also an awakeness in this tiredness. You can feel more tired, but also more awake. And
yeah,
aware.
And clearness, I think.
Clarity, yes. Yeah, perfect.
Clarity.
Great. Then the meditation worked for you. So that's good. You did a good job. Did you feel that it was easier or less easy to accept certain things? Like mental turmoil, physical sensation, the sounds, the gravity, or the breathing? Did you feel that there was a difference between things?
I think not the sounds, but the things in my head that I still have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But after 10 minutes or something, it goes better.
You also eased into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Perfect. So that was the hardest thing, your mental state to accept as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is very common as well. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Nice that you feel calmer now. How was it for you after all this time meditating again? At least with me.
Well, I've been meditating on my own using, I think you told me about the Headspace, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been using that during the past months. But I think today's lesson was actually quite useful because there are things I still need to accept in my current situation. And I kind of made peace at some degree with it. And I think it helped a lot. So I'm just trying to, I'm going to try to, get this feeling across the day, day by day by, basically accepting that maybe I'm not feeling that well now, but I can just focus and see it happen and not, not getting involved in it as much.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Nice insight. The thing is, we have this option to step in and step out of situations which we train with meditation. We don't always have to be busy with something, right? Of course, if there's a danger in front of your nose, you have to be with that otherwise, right? But that's hardly ever the case. So, for instance, like the example I used before, it was not necessary to be involved with that conversation with that guy that offended me, right? So I didn't need to. So when I train myself enough, I will be able to do this with every situation to step in and step out of it. So if there's like stress or trouble at work, you have to face the music, right? Sooner or later, you have to do something with it, probably. But you don't have to be taken by it involuntarily every single moment of the day, right? You can like take the break and step in and out of it. And that's the training. And although things are not the way you want it to be, also that's a part of accepting, right? Being a human is having the whole shebang, right? The good feelings, the nice feelings, the happiness, but also the sadness, the tiredness, the pain, everything. And if you can be able to accept all of that as it is, the cause of every form of restlessness is not accepting what is there. That's every form of restlessness. If we can accept everything that is there at that moment, there's no restlessness anymore. Because we're okay with what is there. That doesn't mean that we have to accept every situation. For instance, yesterday, again, back to the example which I used, that doesn't mean I have to accept that this person talks to me like that, right? I can still say something like, hey, this is not respectful, or I don't like this, or whatever, or to stop the conversation. But it is accepting the situation as it is. So, for instance, if you have stress at work, it's accepting that this is a situation, and then it's good to do something with it and make it better if that's important for you. But the starting point is accepting this is the situation now. And the restlessness is often because we don't accept the situation as it is. And we want it differently, and that makes restlessness. So I think a big and important example is if someone dies. If someone dies around you, there's this mourning process, right? And the end of the mourning process is in acceptance, that you accept that the person isn't there anymore. And of course, we understand mentally that the person isn't alive anymore, isn't not here anymore. But we're in resistance to the fact that the person is not here anymore. And this is the mourning process, to getting okay with that. Because we try to ignore, fight, or whatever, right? We want the person to be there, although the person isn't there. And that's restlessness. And as soon as we get to the stage that we completely accept the situation as it is, we might like it or not like it, right? But accept the situation as it is, that's where the calm and peace comes in. Even if the situation is completely obvious, like someone like deceased, still we're in that situation of not wanting it to be like that. So it comes to starting to accept the situation as it is. And from there on, of course, react, change, whatever you like. But start from this calm and peace of where it is. That's much more effective than wanting to change what is there right now, because that's not possible. Right? You cannot change the things that are already there. You just can change the way things will be going or developing. Does that make sense? Is that helpful?
Yeah, Yeah, thank you a lot.
Yeah. So accept the starting point, and from there on, see how it develops from here. And you come from clarity, calmness, restlessness, which makes the process, of course, a lot more effective. Are there any questions, any comments? Then I thank you all for being here. It's a very international meditation evening. At least we have at least three nationalities here. So I hope you have calmness in your system now and have a nice night's rest. And hopefully till next week. It's every Thursday evening. So if you want, I have a weekly reminder email that I send around that people can just reply to if they want to be there. And it's weekly and you can be here every week, but you also can attend like once a month or whatever. It's completely open. So thank you guys for being here and have a good night's sleep.
You too. Thank you, Ru.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, and before I leave you as a short post note to this episode, I didn't mention, and I think it can be important to mention, that it's not only accepting what is happening. In the moment, but also your reaction to it. And just as I went into during the meditation, in my personal example, after the sort of lecture I had, I noticed my own reaction to it. I noticed that I also had an emotional reaction to it. So that is something triggered. There were things like irritation, anger, fear of being not good enough, and sadness that came. And for a reason that I couldn't really understand, because I was clearly dealing with someone who had not a lot of interest in my side of the story or the complete picture and had hardly any knowledge about the subject at all. And at least not compared to all the research I did, I guess. So why do I take that so seriously, that someone, for my feeling, attacks me from such a position? And of course, it triggered some old trauma, old issues inside myself. Things that would be good for me to deal with. So I don't get out of balance in these kind of situations when things that are related to my personal behavior or choices are addressed. So this way, meditation helps not only to see reality more clearly. It also helps you to see yourself and to get to know yourself and learn about yourself and the patterns more clearly. This example made me aware of my own unprocessed fears and insecurity, because those are the things that arose at that moment. And this is the big thing that meditation brings you for your personal development, because meditation helps you to get to know yourself and especially also how the mind works, how we process things, how we process information, what we do with it. So kind of the thing that happens between input and our own output. And it is so important because it determines how we perceive the world, but also how we interact with the world and act into the world. And this is something we hardly or actually never learn about in our normal upbringing and in our basic educations like kindergarten or the schooling we have as a kid. And I guess also mostly the education we have as an adult. So I wanted to bring that in as well. I didn't mention it, but I think it's worth mentioning, especially because it's widening the perspective a little bit and giving you an even better idea of what meditation can do for you and how it can benefit you. So, again, thank you for listening, and hopefully until the next time. Thanks so much for tuning into my podcast, and I hope it brought you something. Would you like to find out more about meditation, my book, or one of my trainings? You can find it on www.meditatie, the Dutch word for meditation, .amsterdam. Thanks again, and hopefully till next time, here at my podcast or at a live training.